Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Campbell's Footballs podcast with me, Dr. Grant Campbell. Well, what an exciting weekend of football we have. We are building up very much to the Irish League Cup final, the first major piece of silverware of the season. And I'm delighted to be joined for this episode of the show by a man who's been very much involved with our two finalists, Linfield and Portadown. It is a former Arts manager, Matthew Tipton. But also an absolute legend of the Northern Irish Football League. Matthew, it's great to have you back on the show. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for having me on, Grant. I've been looking forward to this since you asked me a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I know we've both been on our travels over the last little while. So it's good. It's good to catch up with you again. I've been, you know, been following the show closely over the last, well, few years, really, since you've been doing it. And I think it's a real good addition to the Irish League. You know, you're given a different perspective. You get a good range of guests on. So I'm really pleased that you've asked me to come back on again.
Well, thanks for your kind words, Matthew. And first of all, before we go any further, how has life been since you left Ards?
Yeah, I suppose it's been nearly 2 months now. Look, I'll be honest, I'm enjoying the break. I've had a couple of holidays. You know, I've spent some time away from football, and it's something I probably needed, to be honest. You know, been in football since the age of 16 at full time. You know, left home, left Wales, and obviously moved to Oldham then, and haven't really had a day off from it. You know, I stepped out of playing, kind of the end of end of the season. I'm thinking, right, I'm going to have a good break off. Spend a lot of time with the wife and the two boys. And within a couple of weeks, Barry Gray had approached me to go to Warren Point. And you know, obviously then I was straight into that side of the game in as assistant manager. And so I didn't really get that break, you know, thinking, you know, the kind of, you know, the separation from playing to management. And I went straight in there. And obviously I was only out of work at Portadown a week when the Ards job came up. So I hadn't had a break, you know, and I'm not here crying about it. You know, I've loved every minute of football, but I think I needed a little bit of time for myself. I've had a good run at it. Really enjoyed my time as a manager. And I think now I just want to take a step back. I'm doing a little bit of coaching with the underage set up within Northern Ireland. Andy Waterworth phoned me. I think he tried ringing me pretty much as soon as I left Ards. I left it a couple of weeks, got back to him. And I've started doing a little bit with them, and that's really enjoyable because it's something different. It's coaching, it's actual coaching, you know, not facilitating at first team level. You're really putting on sessions, maybe a little bit of shape and stuff, but you know, it's getting back to nitty gritty with the young ones, and I've enjoyed doing that over the last couple of weeks. And like what I said to Andy, I'm in no rush to go back in to first team management as yet. I want to get back to enjoying, you know, being on the training pitch and encouraging the young ones and seeing how they develop.
And you've been getting your fair share of commentary and media duties as well, haven't you? Because recently you were at Coleraine Linfield, which was a decent game, shall we say, and a great result for Coleraine.
It was brilliant. Not expected at all. You know, I've millions and lots and lots of time for Oran. I think he's a brilliant manager. Look, they're going through a rough spell. And I can obviously say this because I know as a manager, these things happen. Sometimes it's beyond your control, injuries, suspensions, and you can see they were decimated with that, Coleraine. And, you know, that day, they had a game plan. It worked brilliantly. They went 4-4-2. You know, with the two strikers, then they always had an out ball. And I did say on the commentary, you know, in the first half of the game, but They were solid. They worked ever so hard. Every single player on the pitch, you know, that you could see they were putting a shift in. And Linfield found it difficult to break them down. Obviously, then Coleraine grew into the game. They got the goal. Game opened up a little bit more. And obviously, they ran out 3-0 winners. And Linfield were disappointing, I'll be honest. They, like I say, first half, you expect, you know, it's a little bit nip and tuck. Darren McBean missed a good chance. Your point blank, it was a good save. Reactionary save straight at Rory Brown. But in the second half, you know, Linfield, as much they threw bodies on, more strikers, but they didn't really create an opportunity of note, and they were disappointing, being honest. And then, so that was on the Friday evening, and then they went and played Cliftonville on the Tuesday and absolutely ripped them apart and looked top drawer again. So it just shows within 4 days in football, you know, David changed his team, changed his system over the weekend, and they went there, and you know, Cliftonville had been flying. They'd been on a brilliant run. Jim's got them playing some good stuff. They're defensively solid. Prior to that, they'd only conceded 16, I think, all season, and then 3 in 1 night, and then they go to Dungannon on Saturday and concede another 3. And I think it just shows how competitive the league is. Mm-hmm. That on any given day, anybody can do, you know what I mean? They can do what Dungannon did to Cliftonville there, what Coleraine did to Linfield, and I think it set it up now for a real good running at the end of the season. Lana looking pretty invincible at the minute, but as did Linfield 2 weeks ago or a month ago before they hit a blip, getting beat off Dungannon, drawing at Glenavon with the last, pretty much last kick of the game, and then obviously the Coleraine result, but then they flipped it and they've won 2 in a row there. Cliftonville looked like they were going to be pushing all the way, and they've had a couple of dodgy results, or, you know, 2 bad results. Everybody's now looking, will Lana slip up? From what I've seen, I don't think they will. Yeah, but let me tell you, anything can happen. The bounce of the ball, somebody slips, anything can happen in football, and that's why we all love it, I suppose. And it, you know, I'll be a keen watcher from now to the end of the season. I've been out and watched a couple of games, but I've also got into a little routine of whacking Radio Ulster on, listening to the guys in the studio, you know, the guys around the grounds, and just picking it up from there. And you know, if I don't get any commentary gigs between now and the end of the season, I'll keep tuning in, because it's been really enjoyable for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a captivating title race, isn't it? I mean, I totally agree with you. Lauren look absolutely ruthless at the moment. They remind me of Manchester City, the way they're playing. They're maybe not the most stylish football team in the world, but they're just winning games. And at this stage of the season, it's not about performances, it's about points. And Lauren are just going about their business, and they're winning games in so many different ways, aren't they? I mean, I went to see them early in the season when they beat Carrick 2-0, and they weren't at their free-flowing best that night, but they did the business when they needed to, and they came up with that little bit of quality that maybe sets them apart from some of the other teams in the league. And, you know, I've watched Linfield a couple of times this season, and there are times where they've been really, really good, but there have been other times where they have looked very vulnerable. Well, sure, we'll come on to talk a little bit about that going forward in this show, because, Matthew, you obviously have been involved with both clubs, Linfield and Portadown. First of all, what's your impressions, generally speaking, of the final, and what are you making of the two teams that's going to be going toe-to-toe on Mother's Day Sunday?
Well, I think, first of all, I've got to give full credit to Portadown. You know, they're a championship team. Probably, you know, a little bit inconsistent, to be honest, this year in the championship. And, you know, everybody fully expect Portadown, right? Obviously, I was there as manager. As soon as you're in that league, you'd expect it to win every week, you know, but look, football's not like that. We spoke about it, about the Premier League. The Championship's certainly the same this year, and Dundalk are having a great season and whatever else. But, you know, the way they've gone through the rounds, they've been fantastic. They've beaten Premier League opposition, and not, look, I think it was away at Crusaders in the first round. Like, nobody's expecting that. And you can say, oh, you know, obviously Ards beat Crusaders and in the, you know, in the Irish Cup as well. But Cork United, Crusaders, Lockhall, and, you know, Lockhall had just been promoted as a local derby. You know, now Portadown and Glenavon is the derby, let's be honest, but Lockhall would love it to be them and Portadown within, I think it's 4 or 5 miles apart. So, you know, going and beating them, brilliant result. And then obviously going to Glenavon, who at that stage were flying, weren't they? And they're fully deserving. And they've looked to me better against better opposition than they have, because you hate being disrespectful, right? Obviously, I've been a manager in the Championship a couple of times now, 3 times, 3 different clubs. It's a tough league, right? But obviously, the top league's better, and they've actually looked better there. Maybe are their players more suited because they've got a lot of predominantly Premier League players in the squad? Are they better? They kind of know, and people used to say this to me, and I'd say it's actually easier to manage against them teams than it is against the Championship teams, because they have a style of play, they have a set structure of play, and you can actually set up tactically to play against that. Again, without being disrespectful, some of the Championship teams, it's off the cuff, and every week's a different lineup, a different system, and a different performance because of the inconsistency.
Yes.
Where Premier League teams, you know what Crusader is going to do, so you can set up to play against that and how you're going to counter that style of play. And I think, now, let's be frank here. They're going up against Linfield at Windsor Park. Yes, it's a final, it's neutral venue, but it's not a neutral venue. It's Linfield's home ground that they're playing at. And it will be a complete different proposition because they're going up against perennial winners in Linfield. You know what I mean? These boys, players in that squad, and at Linfield, there is no two ways about it. You need to win trophies every year. If you want a new contract as a player, that was what was always said to players, you know, when I was there, and I've no doubt it's still the same now. Win trophies, win the league. You know, it's a bare minimum for them that they've got to do that, and they'll be, look, it's going to be a tough, tough ask for Portadown, but I think they've done absolutely brilliantly just to get there. And now they'll want to make sure that when they get there on the day, they give a performance that they can be proud of. Look, they've, I don't know how many tickets have been sold. I've seen things, you know, 70% of this and one stand sold out and whatever else. I'm sure there'll be, you know, there'll be a good, good following of Portadown fans there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was at last year's final between Linfield and Coleraine, and I mean, it was almost full. It was absolutely fantastic. And credit to Neil Coleman, Jared Lawler, and everybody involved with the Northern Irish Football League, who really sold and marketed that final to perfection last year. And if there's anything to go by going into this year, it looks like it's going to be just as good, if not as bigger than before. But let's carry on with Portadown. You talked about them there, Matthew. I mean, this is their route to the final. They beat Coa United 4-1 in the first game. Then they beat Crusaders 2-1. Walk goal 2-0. Both of those matches at home. I think they had Coa at home as well. Then they go to Glenavon and win 1-0. You know, that penalty as well. I mean, what I have to say, looking at those games, just two goals conceded, which, as you say, in the Championship, they'd be very inconsistent because I've seen them lose to Newington 4-0 recently. They've really struggled on their travels at times this season. But there have been times where they've looked really, really good. And Niall Curry has gone in there, and in the cup competitions, Portadown have been very, very good. They've won the Mid-Ulster Cup. As we're recording this, they're still in the Irish Cup quarter-final with Cliftonville. I mean, what is it maybe the cup competitions that's maybe suiting Portadown better than the league? What do you think about that?
Well, clearly, statistically, yes, it would say that, wouldn't it? You know, Niall and the people at Portadown won't be happy hearing that, because at the end of the day, right, your bread and butter is the league. And inconsistency is infuriating for a manager because they know they can do it. Look, but there's not a shadow of a doubt they can do it, because clearly the results, that shows that they can, you know, compete. They should be doing better than what they're doing in the league. But look, the league, there's still eight, nine games left. I think they'll come okay in that as well. But seeing a one-off game, anybody can raise their game, can't they? You see it all over the world, right? And it's so upset. But now, if you looked at that on paper, that's three upsets they've caused in the League Cup. Crusaders, Lochall and Glenavon. Now, historically, Portadown are a bigger club than Lochall. That means nothing. They're still in the league above. So when you beat somebody from the league above, you've caused an upset. And to me, you know, that is a one-off game. You can raise your game. You can raise your team. You know, as a manager, you can go, right, come on, we're one shot away from a semi-final. Or, you know, we're one shot away with the League Cup four games, they're in the final. So once they beat Crusaders, then they're going, right, well, we're in the quarterfinal. Lochall, come on, boys, do you know what I mean? Lochall, obviously, their main aim, I'm not speaking for anybody else, but surely their main aim when they went into the season was to stay in the Premier League. Would they take their eye off the ball? I'm not sure when that game was played. Was it November time? Would they take their eye off the ball for the League Cup and maybe chop and change the team? Because, let's be honest, you know, staying in the Irish Premier League is obviously more beneficial to them at that stage. Absolutely. They probably wanted to get through, you know what I mean? I'm not saying they didn't want to win. Yeah. But that happens when you're in them positions in the league. Now, Lochall have had a fantastic season. Obviously, they've really kicked on. But I'm sure that at that stage, and now they're in the final Portadown, and they'll be buzzing, and Niall now has the task of one shot. Anything can happen on the day. If you say to me, look, all logic out of the way, all only logically thinking, surely Linfield will beat Portadown, right? Because Linfield are top of the Premier League and they're in the Championship. However, on that one given day, you need an inspired performance from your goalkeeper. You know what I mean? Can a little bit of magic from Ryan Mays or Eamon Fife, who, you know what I mean? Zach Barr's obviously come in and hit the ground running. What you need is, because you might only get one chance in that game. You need one of them big players to bury a chance when they get it. And you need, you know, I see Gareth Buchanan's been playing the last couple of games, or Aaron Hogg, whoever plays in goal. I'm not saying they need the game of their lives, but they need a good 9 out of 10 performance next Sunday.
I mean, it seems very similar in some respects to the Scottish Cup final last season between Celtic and Inverness, Cali Thistle. Okay, Celtic won the final, but Cali had a good run to get to the final. They got a little bit of luck by getting back in on a technicality, but they made the most of that. And, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of luck as well. You mentioned some key players there, and I was actually going to ask you about who you think some of these key players are. But let's just have a look at some of the games. You know, Eamon Fife, you mentioned him. Scored twice in the win over Coa. He also scored the winner, what turned out to be the winner against Crusaders in round three. Scored the second goal against Loughgall in the quarterfinal. Ryan May scores the winning penalty in the 1-0 win over Glenavon in the derby. You know, those two players, I've just got that little bit of quality. I mean, we all know Ryan May's his quality, don't we? I mean, he, let's be honest, is a Premiership player. You know, the fact he's playing for Portadown in the Championship, I think, is quite extraordinary, to be honest with you. And I think, to be credit to Niall Curry, he's got a fantastic player in his hands. But Fife has also been very impressive as well. And one of the things I like about Portadown is that they have got so many players that should be playing in the Premiership. They've got so much quality there. You know, they have that experience there. But as you say, you know, because they're playing a team that's near the top end of the Premiership at their own patch, effectively in a final, it's going to be so tough for them. But we've seen already in this campaign that they can go away and get a result like they did in the semi-final. They're going to have to play as well as that, aren't they?
And more, let's be honest. You know, they're going to have to do what they've done in the semi-final and more. For me, if you look at straight down the middle of the team, Dougie Wilson's back in now and playing. You know, he's had a decent run of games after being out for probably the first 3 months of the season.
Yeah.
Look, every single one of their players is Premier League players. There's no two ways about it. And I think that's why people expect them. They should be running away with the league. You could go through it from 1 to 11 or, you know, 1 to 18, and they're all Premier League players. Oh,
of course.
Yes, I agree. So you've Dougie Wilson there, right? Luke Wilson's been playing at centre-half, obviously, who I know really well. I made him captain at 17. He was running the midfield. And if he hadn't done his cruciate knee injury, there's no doubt he'd have been sold. You know, we just got him on a 5-year deal, same as Lee Bonus, to turn him at the same time, and there was plenty of interest for him. You know, I hope he gets back to that, but it took him a little longer to get back to his full fitness. Then you've Gary Thompson. Like, look at Gary Thompson. I played with Gary at Ballymena, and he went on to Crusaders and kind of won, you know what I mean, trophies and trophies and trophies. He's now captain there. So you're going right through the middle of the team. They're strong. Yes. You know, Gary's there. Then, you know, Owen McCall's come in from Dundalk. A good young player, was across the water, came back. Took a little bit of time to kind of find, you know, he was Dundalk, and I think he was Ards previously, Dundalk, and obviously there now at Portadown. Ryan Mays, Eamon Fife, one or the other will play in the number 10 position. One will play wide. Yeah. Ryan's been playing wide off the right. I know that. And then who plays centre-forward, obviously Zach Barr's been there and doing a good job at the minute. Yeah. I look at that and I think that's a solid, experienced spine of the team. They all need to stand up and perform. And then you've still then got Ross playing left back or Aaron Traynor. Both bundles of experience. I had Aaron at Warren Point. Funnily enough, a brilliant player. Drive you mad sometimes, but he's a little bit more... Look, don't forget, it was 7 years ago. He's a little bit younger and a little bit more naive, and he just used to be all over the pitch, but he was a smashing player. Ross, like I say, solid. Then you've Kenny. Lee Chapman's been playing really well, by all accounts. I haven't seen too much of him, but I know he's been playing well at right back. So they've got... On paper, they've got enough about them to go, right, come on, let's go and put up. And they'll know how to go to Windsor Park and go... They don't have to be expansive. Sometimes in the Championship, I think they're probably expecting to, or they are expected to run over teams, and they'll be a little bit more expansive, where I think they'll go to Windsor against Enfield and they'll have to be a little bit more solid, and that'll suit them and maybe then play on the counter-attack.
Well, the last time Portadown won at Windsor, do you know the answer?
Sean Mackle scored. Niall was manager. They won 1-0.
Well, yes, it was 2-1. In 2015, but you're right, Sean Mackle did score in a 2-1. So very impressive about that one. incidentally, Warren Feeney scored for Linfield that day. So a little bit of a stat there for you. I quite like
Pretty good.
that.
Yeah.
Just thought I should bring that one up before someone else does.
The message that Niall will have given them as he's signing them, we are here to win, right? We want a success. This football club doesn't, it needs the success. You know, it doesn't want success. Everybody wants, it's, they need success, right? And the glory will come for it. They'll see the crowd will be massive. And these are promises or, you know, things that Niall would have encouraged to get these lads over the line to say, look, come to us because we want to be up there and we want to show you how big this football club can be. So each and every one of them players in that squad know that this is the target for Portadown, right? To go and play in cup finals, to go and play in, back in the Premier League and sustain that over a period of time. So I don't think it'll be a surprise to any of them. However, they've still got to deliver that. So I used to say to them all the time when I was there, embrace the pressure, right? So we're in the championship and everybody wants to beat us, right? You've got to embrace that and use it to fuel yourself out on the pitch because everybody's cup final. Look, it's still the same now because it's the biggest club in the championship, biggest crowds, every away game. You know, they're, every other team are waiting for Portadown to come to give them a payday. Where it's the opposite in the cup competitions, Portadown are going to win it as the underdogs, but now they'll be trying to inspire them to say, hang on, guys, come on. This is the level that you all should be at. You've come to us as a football club to drag us back to this level. We've got to the final. Let's not disappoint today. Let's make sure that we're ready and we give a good account of ourselves as a football club. But you as individuals are going here. It's going to be a massive, it'll be the biggest attended game of the season. It, you know, it's live on Sky. It, the media exposure there, go and make yourselves, you know, prove to people at Portadown and you as individuals should be in the Premier League doing this on a weekly basis. And I'm sure, look, Niall will have a better team talk than that, but that's pretty much what I'm guessing that he would have said to these guys previously to get them, you know, to sign, to stay at the football club or to bring in the new players. And I think it, the excitement will be building for them now.
And of course, you've obviously won the championship with Portadown. I mean, you've special memories of that club. I mean, let's talk about Niall Currie as a manager because you've went toe to toe with him on numerous occasions on the touchline. What's he like as a manager?
I think he's absolutely brilliant. A lot of people, like maybe that don't really know football, they think, oh, them two probably don't get on because the fact I replaced him as manager after his first spell at Portadown, you know, it didn't work for him. Look, that's football. Sometimes, you know, you don't do, like obviously myself at Ards that have went in after two successful spells as a manager at Warren Point and at Portadown, and it didn't work at Ards. I mean, it didn't work for Niall the first time there, but like I always said to him, well, I didn't sack it and I didn't appoint me. You know what I mean? So we shared a beer and whatever. And I've been on record saying it before. I'm not sure I could get the best out of the players that Niall signs, but he, because obviously we play different styles of football or whatever, right? But the way he manages his teams and the way he gets them to perform for him is absolutely fantastic. And I have utmost admiration for him because he's been successful over a long period of time at numerous clubs, you know, Loughall and obviously Ards previously. And went to Dundalk and did really well with them. Carrick, he did well for Carrick as well. People forget that. You know, it was
Absolutely.
just a little blip he had at the Portadown spell, but he's come back now and obviously he's won the Middlesex Cup. He's in this cup final. He's gone through a couple of rounds of the Irish Cup and look, they're not out of the mix in the race for the title either. You know, I think there's kind of 4 points separating. But look, see when you go into the split, that he'll be thinking, right, if we can be 3 points behind or 1 point behind or whatever it is going into the split, that's only one result. You only need to beat the team that's above you and you're back in. So I like I say, a full admiration for him because of the success he's had and the way that he manages to get the best out of every, you know, individual in his squad.
One thing about Portadown in recent matches in the league, you know, they have been behind in their last three games in the league. They were 2-0 down against Ballyclare, came back to get a draw. They obviously lost the Newington game recently as well. That will worry Niall, won't it, the fact that they have gone behind and they've had to come back and get results. They did, of course, win recently at Ballymallard, but, you know, going behind in these games, particularly at Windsor Park, if they concede the first goal in this final, it's going to be so tough for them, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd worry if you know they were two down against Dunner as well.
That's
I think
right.
it was like
The game I was missing.
it was. I think there was three games in a row, and it was two. You know, they were two down, and they got it back to 2-2. And then obviously the Newington result. I actually looked at the highlights. They were on, and Portadown probably should have been three or four up within the first 15 minutes. They didn't. Look, that's if buts and maybes, isn't it? If my auntie had the balls, it's the old one. But they didn't capitalise. They didn't get that goal. And then Newington, you know, they punished them. And 4-0, it's a hammering, let's be honest. You know,
it
at
is.
home, 4-0, it don't matter where you are, 4-0's a hammering, right?
It's a bit of a shocker, really, isn't it? Because
Yeah.
it was a result that I certainly didn't see coming.
Not at all, no. But that would be a worry, I'm sure now. Would be worried the goals they were conceding. And like you say, you go to Windsor, right, and concede against Linfield early, you're in for a long afternoon. So I'm sure the message will be, look, we've got to keep this tight for as long as possible. And that's what I was saying about earlier. They already know that. When they're away at Ballinamallard or when they're at home against Newington, they're not going to keep it tight for the first 15 minutes. They're going to go and throw everything at it. And that's why they've been susceptible to the counter-attack goals, conceding too early, because they're throwing basically the kitchen sink at it from minute one. They'll not go to Windsor and do that. And if they do, well, we know what will happen. Yeah. And let's be honest, you'd be foolish to think you can go to Windsor and go toe-to-toe with Linfield. Because that, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you think that you can go and hell for leather against them, they'll punish you.
I guess when you are the underdog going to a ground like Windsor Park in a final, the thing you've got to do, as we've said already, is to be pretty solid across the pitch, be tough to break down. But when you're attacking, I think you've got to make the most of set pieces, haven't you? And I guess in that Portadown side, you've got people like Ross Redmond and Gary Thompson, etc., Ryan Mays, that have that bit of quality that could put Linfield under pressure, because Linfield have been susceptible to conceding a few goals from set pieces this season.
Yeah, and it's not like Linfield. And one thing you would have always, you know, looked at David Healy's Linfield teams is how strong they are attacking set pieces. And they haven't been as... the record this year hasn't been as good. Look, I hope I'm not giving too much away. And if anybody from Linfield's watching, well, Portadown have struggled set piece wise this year. Niall's come out on, you know, himself and said it. They've conceded a lot of goals from set pieces, and they'll have to make sure that that's on point come next Sunday, because you can't. It's not a free goal. Obviously, we all understand that, right? Because every goal has to be worked for. But as a manager, defensively from set pieces, it's infuriating when you do concede from that, because each player has a designated man. If you go man to man or you're doing zone or whatever, I'm just moving here because the dog is trying to get out the house. So they'll have to make sure that they're, you know, as much as we can say that they should be looking to use it as a strength, they're going to have to make sure that they're locked on defensively from set pieces, because you don't want to give a cheap goal away. You know, that's what, as managers, that's what we class set piece goals as, cheap goals to give away, because we always think they're preventable.
Yeah, very much so. While we're now talking about Linfield, let's move on to the blue corner, because we've talked about the red corner. This is very much like a boxing match, isn't it? The red is blue in some respects. It's quite nice in some ways. Let's talk about Linfield's run to the next, well, to the final. They beat Queen's University in the second round, 3-1. Goals from Cooper with a double, and Sean Robertson got the third goal. There's a blast from the past. No longer, of course, at Linfield.
No. East Kilbride?
Yes.
Is he?
Well, yes, he's certainly back in Scotland, that's for sure. Then the third round, beat Glensoran 2-1 at the Oval, a double from Joel Cooper. Quarterfinals, beat Larne on penalties after a thrilling game at Inver. We'll come on to that, I'm sure, in a minute. Then the semi-finals, the 2-1 win over Dungannon with a double from Kyle McLean. Let's go through each round with Linfield, because in every round they've been challenged, haven't they? Because Queen's University went to Windsor in the opening round, and I gave it a go, didn't they? I think Stuart Nixon scored for Queen's University in that match. And, you know, Linfield had to work hard to win that opening match.
Yeah, Queens are a good team. We played them in the County Antrim Shield early on in the season, and they were lively. Look, Stuart Nixon's had a move since, and he was doing really well for them, and they were well organised, well drilled, and some good players there. Tough, but you never ever fancied them to shock Linfield, and I know they did a number of years ago in the Irish Cup, but, you know, at Windsor on a Tuesday night, I never fancied them to beat them. But once they got through that round and drew Glentoran, anything can happen. Look, it's the big two. The Glens, you know, they had a great result against them. They beat them 4.
Yeah,
You
I
know,
was at that game before, not.
the last game as Linfield or Glentoran manager or player is the last one you want in the second round of the League Cup, third round. It's one of the other two. You don't want that. You know, you want a kind of easy is the wrong word to say because obviously it's football, nothing's
A more
easy. But
favorable, a more favorable draw.
You don't want to be playing against your biggest rivals at that stage of the competition. You want to be playing them in the final if at all. But you know, obviously, good result. 2-1. Joel Cooper obviously with a couple of goals there. And then the hardest tie possible, isn't it? Could land the league champions away from home.
I mean that Larne game was just phenomenal, wasn't it? Because it was 0-0 at 90 minutes, wasn't it? And then extra time, it just busted the life, didn't they? Eunice scored. It looked like Larne had turned the game around. They got themselves 2-1 up late on. And then, you know, Braden Graham, 16 years of age, pops up with a goal in the 119th minute to take that game to a penalty shootout. And he scores the winning penalty. I mean, it's the stuff of legends, that, isn't it? And it's very rare that Larne lose at home. Albeit it was a cup game, it's very rare that Larne lose at home. So for Linfield to go to Inver and the Oval in the previous round and win, you've got to be a good side to do that.
Well, that's it. Look, go in there. If you look at the team that Linfield had, they made a whole host of changes in the second half, and they brought all young ones on. You know, Braden Graham came on. I actually watched the game. Braden Graham came on. Aidan Doherty went on in midfield, and he was brilliant. Look, they had, and I think this never gets spoke about Linfield, right? The injuries that they've had this season is ridiculous. They've lost a lot of players. You know, we talk about John Robertson. Whatever had happened, he'd left the football club. Jack Scott left. Who was the other one? No, they all left, but them two left. And then they've had so many injuries. And these young lads have had to step up. But Linfield never get the credit for that. It's just Linfield should be winning, and that's it, right? And I don't think David gets enough credit for the way that he's managed and produced the young players that he's done. Not just Braden Graham for scoring the equaliser in the 119th minute that day. I'm talking about his whole tenure. Yep. He has done phenomenal bringing them through. And you know, Northern Ireland are seeing the reaping the rewards of this now. But, you know, you're looking at these young lads that, you know, I seen Paul Smith scored at the weekend. Obviously, David kind of pushed him through. And there's others there. Chris McKee was, and he's back again. You know, was a young lad then. He's come back. This year, they've had that many injuries. You know, Chris Shields is out now.
Yeah.
He's out for the rest of the season. I was in the paper yesterday morning, this morning anyway.
That's a massive blow, isn't it? Chris Shields being out
big
for the final.
Blow. But if you look, it's a massive blow, full stop, right? But their best player so far that I've seen, right? Now, I haven't seen every 90-minute game of them, you know what I'm saying? Kyle MacLean. He's been standout this year. Revelation.
Definitely recently, he's been outstanding.
You know, he's got two in the semi-final away as well at Dungannon in the semi-final.
That's right.
So they've went away to the Oval, away to Larne, and away to Dungannon, right? So they've had three tough ties there as well.
Not easy games, especially Dungannon. You mentioned Dungannon there. I mean, this is a Rodney McAree team that are always likely to get a goal. They're a very attacking team, very courageous team, very naive at times, but they're a very dangerous team. And so Cliftonville lose to them recently as well. So that makes that win even more impressive, has to be said.
Massively for me, but he's got a big role to play. I don't know if Stephen Fallon's going to be fit. He was coming back, and then he looks like he's took a setback there. I know Jordan Stewart played his second reserve game in a week, so that's a positive for them, you know, building him up. Whether he's going to be ready for the cup final, I don't know. Joel Cooper's been out a good while. They've chopped and changed the team a little bit. You know, he's went to a back three. The last two games, Cliftonville and Dungannon game after, we spoke about, you know, the Coleraine game where they weren't so great. And with the change of the system meant Kirk Miller and Joel Cooper are out of the team.
Yeah.
Now, if there's one positive part down, I would be looking at that going, keep them on the bench as long as possible because two match winners, aren't they? Let's be honest. Look, Kirk Miller... In the
we
past.
All know Kurt Miller's quality, don't we? I mean, he's a really quality player. I mean, he's the king of assists, isn't he, in the league? You know, he's such a quality player.
Unbelievable. You know, you give him the ball and he, you know, people talk about half a yard. He doesn't need that. You know, he's bending crosses in. He's drifting inside and playing little through balls. Look, I have all the time in the world to Kirk. You know, I'll argue his case. People say sometimes he doesn't do enough. I'm not sure what much more this fella can do, you know, over the 20 assists a season minimum every year for the last, what, 7 years probably.
Yeah.
I'm just a little bit gutted I didn't get to play with him at all. But he's some player. Joel Cooper, magic man, isn't he? Let's be honest, he can produce a goal out of nothing, as he's done numerous times. Obviously, he's only coming back to fitness. Linfield have always been built on a solid defence. This year has not been as solid. You know, the bare facts of it are they've conceded a lot of goals this year, or way more than what they normally would. So I suppose that will give Portadown some encouragement. But the firepower Linfield have, right? You've got Matthew Fitzpatrick at the minute. It's him and Reece Annette playing up front. Chris McKee's been coming off the bench, scored against Cliftonville last week. Always looks a threat. Now, I've known Chris since he was 10, probably. He's the same age as George. They would have kind of played together and stuff. Chris has looked a lot sharper at the minute coming off the bench. I think when they play 4-3-3 and he's had the lone striker role, it's harder for him. Yep. He's having to do that hold-up play. He's having to run the channels. He's having to get in the box. And I don't see that he's been doing that as well as he can do or he wants to do. But when he's come off the bench, and certainly if you're playing in the two, him and Matthew Fitzpatrick are a handful for anybody. But Reece Annette's obviously been starting and they've won the last two games. So yep. I'm sure David will be looking at that. And Portadown will have to deal with that.
Yeah,
the firepower that Linfield have, not only in the starting lineup, if they keep to the same system and Kirk and Joel are on the bench, then they've to worry about them coming on as well.
Now, one thing I want to bring up here, obviously, I was at last year's final where they beat Coleraine 2-0, and I don't think it was the greatest final I've ever seen. I don't think it was the worst, but it was a game that took its time to catch fire, and I want to just put on record here, and I'm reminding myself of this, that I said to Mark McIntosh and a few guys in the press box at that final that Joel Cooper would score the first goal of the final, and a lot of people didn't back me, and I was right. So I just want to put that on record.
Well, there you go,
Joel Cooper scored in the final. So obviously, won't be playing probably this final, but I just wanted to put that in there. But in a game like that, it comes on to my next question for you. When you're the favourite scored into a final and you're up against an underdog side like Portadown, who are going to make themselves probably, I hope, very tough to beat, how do you keep yourself patient? You've got to just try and trust the process and maybe pass it a little bit quicker, try to be a bit more imaginative. How easy is that to do? And how do you keep believing that you're going to penetrate through and create that chance that's going to score the goal?
Well, I suppose for Linfield, they'll be well used to it because it's every week for them at Windsor Park, barring maybe Lan coming there. Everybody else will predominantly come and not park the bus because it's...
sit in and dogfight.
They will. You know, Ballymena done it last week against them. And teams do that, you know, and they work ever so hard. What Linfield have to trust and it is the fact that they've got match winners and they've got the quality to do it. And look, like every team in world football, right, will be thinking, got to get an early goal. Get the early goal and then it makes things a lot easier, right? Yeah. But what Linfield have to fall back on is the fact that they've done it so many times over the years that it can go to the 80th minute and they know that they've got that ability, the capabilities to go and produce something late on, be it from a little bit of magic from one of the players that we've spoke about, or just basically by grinding them down, by battering, you know, the old, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and Linfield have got certainly more than one way to do it. You know, they can go, you know, all the pretty football, they can go wide, they can get crosses in the box, but they can just basically grind the opposition down by moving the ball, by moving the opposition. That's what Portadown will find harder to do than against Championship teams, obviously, because the intensity and things will be a lot higher.
Yeah.
However, Portadown have shown in individual games that they can cope with that because they've done it against Premier League teams so far this season already.
Yeah. One thing to note, Chris Johns was back in the Ballymena game. He obviously didn't play the match against Coleraine. He's been really solid this season in the Linfield goal, hasn't he?
Yeah. Like I said, he hasn't kept as many clean sheets as he would have liked. However, you know, he's been top goalkeeper within the Irish League for a number of years now, and you always look at goalkeepers, don't you? In finals, you're predominantly looking at two goalkeepers, two strikers, and then a little bit of magic in between because games are won and lost without being stupid here. In penalty areas, both penalty areas, that's where it's key. You know, so you need goalkeeper obviously having a great game in your penalty area and your centre-forward in the opposition area to get you to goal. And in Linfield, they've got a goalkeeper that they know they can rely on. I'll be honest, it was at the Coleraine game and David Walsh, smashing young goalkeeper. But you could see there was uncertainty, not just in terms of the goals conceded. Look, goalkeepers concede goals, right? fact, otherwise it would nobody watch football, would they? But it wasn't that. It was the other side of the game in terms of back passes, through balls over the top. The defenders didn't know whether to head it, to leave it. They were leaving it and he was staying on his line, or they were heading it and he was coming out for it. Look, not each and every one of them didn't create a goal-scoring opportunity or, you know, a goal. But you can see that that
it
lack
comes with
of,
lack of game time, doesn't it? It comes with lack of, you know, experience of playing with the guys in front of you, isn't it? Because you're the number two, in essence, you know, because Chris Jones is a very, very competitive and very competent number one. You know, when he does lose his place, as he was to illness, you know, guy comes in, you know, he's got to impress. But the likelihood is, when number one is back from an illness, he probably goes straight back into goal. And that can be very tough for a young goalkeeper, particularly of Walsh's quality that's starting out. And, you know, I did feel for him in the Coleraine match.
Yeah, because it's something that I would bang on about. The more that you play together, right, it then becomes non-verbal communication.
It becomes a unit, doesn't it?
Yes, you don't need to shout keepers or away, because they know that he's either, you know what I mean? If it's coming through, he's going to be there and he'll just sweep up or whatever. But that doesn't happen if you're not playing. So certainly when he went back in against Cliftonville, they just looked a lot more assured with him behind him because they know what he can do. Look, that's not to say David Walsh is a bad goalkeeper around him. What I'm just saying is you need consistency with your goalkeeper and your back four, back three, back five, whatever numbers that you can throw at it. He's always going to be the focal point, the starting point at the back. And it gives them confidence. And it's everything. It's the playing out from the back. Is he going long? He's got that composure, the calmness, the experience to speed up, to slow down the game. Yeah. And certainly in a cup final, that's what's needed in them type of things, you know?
Yeah. In terms of the defence, I mean, one of the guys that's really impressed me with Linfield this season has been Ewan East. Obviously, he's come from Queen of the South in Scotland. What have you made of him at the back? He looks a bit of a leader amongst men, doesn't he? Because obviously when Jimmy Callagher left to go to Crusaders, that was such a big loss. He'd been such a mainstay in that defence. And really, apart from Matthew Clark, I mean, not really a lot of guys there that have been there a long, long time at Linfield. You know, Clarkie's been there a long time. The rest of the guys there have either been there a couple of seasons or are just sort of getting a little bit more consistency in the side. Okay, Daniel Finlayson's been there a wee bit further longer, but he's come in and taken it to it like a duck to war, hasn't he?
Yeah, but look, Michael Newbury as well, mainstay, and then been out this season. He's been injured quite a bit, and I like Eunice. I think he's been super. I think he's commanding. He's good on the ball. You know, Ben Hall's another one. Look, I think, you know, he's been injured and he's back in now. And but I think Eunice is a great signing for them. I think he's done really well so far. As a new player, if you want, into Linfield now, he'll be, I'm sure, excited and looking forward to this because, again, like what we spoke about Portadown, you come into Linfield to win. You are coming to Linfield to win trophies. So now, first opportunity to win a trophy. You know, I know the County Antrim Shield's gone. So now, monkey off the back, isn't it? And that'll be not just for him, that's for all of the players that haven't been successful yet. Obviously, they didn't win the league last year. They didn't win the Irish Cup. Yes, they won the League Cup, right? But some people might not have played or they might not have been in the squad. This is a first opportunity for a lot of them to get that silverware under the belt. And it's needed at Linfield. There's no two ways about it. We talked about how Portadown needs success. Well, Linfield, you know, it's a necessity there in this game. For him, you know, it could cement him there, you know, for another couple of years.
We've talked a lot about experience with Portadown. With Linfield, there's not really a hell of a lot of experience there. I mean, I mentioned Clarkie's obviously been there a long time. Shields is going to be out of the final. How imperative is someone like Jamie Mulgrew going to be in this final? Because he always delivers, doesn't he? He is Mr. Linfield. You know, he needs no introduction.
No, look, without a shadow of a doubt, he'll be there and he knows what it takes. You know, full stop, that's it. Just Jamie knows what it takes, regardless. Cup finals, leagues, he's done it all. Been there, done it, you know, won the lot, man of the match in finals, and I've seen it firsthand, and he'll be dragging them through without a shadow of a doubt. These big games is when Jamie stands up to be counted, to be honest. You know, I don't know how many trophies he's won, everything that there is to win.
Too many to mention.
and he'll be now, look, they'll get this weekend out of the way in the Irish Cup, and then he'll be ready and he'll be driving it into them about how important it is to be successful. Then, you know, Cal McLean's getting there to that kind of experience stage. And I know we spoke about Kirk and Joel and all the rest of it, right? It wouldn't surprise me if they're back in for the final. because it is a final and because they've been there and done that. Whichever way, whichever system they play, I can well see them back in the team. Because you do on finals, generally, you kind of do want to look to your most established players because they know what it takes to get you over the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jamie is just such a professional, isn't he? He's so solid. He knows how to win games. He knows how to be progressive in matches. He's such a good communicator. I think he'll be so difficult to keep quiet in the game. And I think that's very, very important. Obviously, going into a match like this, you know, we talked about Linfield's vulnerabilities. There have been times this season where they have lost some really poor results, haven't they? Particularly away from home. I mean, I referenced on the show that I was at the Oval at the start of December, where Glentoran really took them to the cleaners 4-0. We've seen Larne beat them at Inver this season and also at Windsor. We've seen Coleraine at a match you were at early in the season. Dungannon have beat them in the league. There is hope for Portadown with that sort of form, but we have also seen Linfield, when they have been at their best, they can blow teams away.
Yeah, look, if Linfield are on their game, look, for Portadown to win this game, Portadown need to be 10 out of 10 and Linfield need to be 5 out of 10. There's no two ways about that. If Linfield are any way above, 7, 8 out of 10, they win this game because they are obviously better. So that's the way, but Linfield can't afford to go into the game thing. We'll be okay if we're 7, 6, 7 out of 10. They need everybody at the game to make sure that the game's comfortable for them, because otherwise, the last thing look any team wants, they're going into a final, right? You don't want an uncomfortable game. What you want is a game where you're not put to bed early. Obviously, everybody would love that. What I mean is, they want to be in control of the game, not having to chase the game. They want to be, doing what they want to do, getting the foot on the ball, moving the ball around the pitch, moving Portadown around the pitch, like I spoke about earlier, because the high intensity of the movement of the passing, it will drain Portadown. It's a big, big game, big pitch, and all the rest of it. But it's not just the fact that the size of the pitch at Windsor, it's the atmosphere, the adrenaline. It can drain you really quickly in a final. Hopefully that doesn't happen. And what Linfield was saying, look, let's get these done and dusted here, so they it make it a long afternoon for Portadown. Pretty much that will be the message coming from the Linfield dressing room. Let's make this a long afternoon. Let's keep the ball. Let's punish them. Any opportunities we get, we've got to be ruthless. We've got to be clinical. Once we get sight of goal, we can't afford to give them the opportunity to throw bodies in, because finals, that's what happens. Boys will be throwing, Colin Hendry style for your Scottish listeners. He loved it, didn't he? Every part of his body to block the ball, and Linfield will be saying, "No, we've got to really bury these. We've got to be putting the chances away early because we don't want to turn this into a long afternoon in terms of panicking, because as it'd be a big crowd and stuff." And let's be honest, right? Linfield fans are expecting them to win. Portadown fans will be going there for a good day out, I'm presuming. I hope I'm not talking out of turn here, but I can't imagine there's that many Portadown fans that'll be expecting them to win. They'll be wanting them to win, but they'll not be expecting where on the flip side, the Bloomin' will be expecting them to win. And that pressure can sometimes go on, because this is not Linfield, obviously, there, right? It's not Linfield v Coleraine in the final as it was last year, because that's kind of, there's no point me doing this because we're on a podcast, right? But we're quite close together, my hands,
Yes,
right?
yes.
This is Linfield, top of the Premier League,
On the other
against
top of
Portadown
the
in the
league.
league
Yeah,
below.
yeah, yeah,
You get
yeah.
me? So there's a massive gap between these two teams, right? In terms of league position status, in terms of quality. So this is a foregone conclusion for Linfield fans. It won't be for the Linfield players, Linfield staff, the manager, David.
You've got to turn up and you've got to get the job done, because we have seen in finals that there can be an upset.
Because anything could happen. Somebody could slip, somebody makes a mistake,
Yeah.
put down, get an early goal, and then that's what I'm talking about. Then that
Yeah.
becomes a long afternoon, because the Linfield fans will, I'm not saying they'll get on their backs, but they'll
The
be,
pressure ramps, doesn't it? And
the groans become louder,
it gives
every
something
miss.
for Portadown to hold on to, doesn't it?
So it makes for an interesting game because of them little pressures. That's as as much as we can talk about Linfield are there and Portadown are there, in terms of the way apart, the pressures of a final will bring that closer together. And if Linfield aren't fully at it, from the first minute, you know, stamping their authority on it, it'll encourage Portadown to grow into the game, because that's what they'll want. They'll not be expecting, like I said earlier on, they'll not be expecting to dominate the ball or dominate the game from minute one like they are in the Championship. Their game plan, you would think, would be to let's stay in this game. Let's stay here as long as we can and let's see what that brings us. Let's put Linfield under pressure through, you know, not giving them opportunities to get shots on, crosses in the box, set pieces. They'll want, you know, not so many corners. And then let's see where that can we grow into the game, where Linfield will be the opposite. We've got to get, you know, foot down here, bang. And that brings pressure as well, because then they'll think, oh, we've been, you know, knocking the door down here for 15, 20 minutes. We haven't got there, but they're used to it as well. They are used to that. They can keep going. They can keep going. They know that over the period of the 90 minutes, if they do what they do right, they'll be okay.
This will be the second Sunday in succession that Linfield will be playing, won't it? Because they've got Institute in the Irish Cup quarter-final the weekend before. Does that game have any bearing on Linfield's preparations for the final?
It's a difficult one. Institute are a good team. Now, it's easy for me to say, sitting here today, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, obviously when I left Ards, I felt Institute were the best team in the Championship. Now, they've had a poor run since then. You know, they've not picked up as many points as they would have liked, because they made some good signings in the January window, and I thought they'll kick on here. And I couldn't really see beyond them winning the league, being honest, 6 or 8 weeks ago. Hasn't transpired like that. Look, that's football. But David will not underestimate them. There's no two ways about that. And I look at Linfield's squad now. They might make change. Look, we've spoke about people that are on the bench there in Kirk and Joel, Chris McKee, Jordan Shue, etc. So whilst I'm saying they don't have a pile of people to make changes with, I think they might make one or two, but I don't think they've got an awful lot where they can make seven, eight changes. And also, they'll not want to take any risks. It's a cup, you know, it's a cup quarterfinal game. They want to be in the final of the Irish Cup.
Yeah, and that brings me on to my next question, because obviously Linfield are wanting to try and win back the title from Larne. That weekend, Larne play the game in hand, because Linfield have also played a game more in the league as we're recording this. They are at Coleraine, a match I'm hoping to be at, and then obviously I'll be at the cup final itself. If Larne go 4 points clear at top, you know, how difficult is it going to be for Linfield to try and catch Larne for the title? Because let's be honest, the cups are great, but they want to win their title back, don't they?
At Windsor Park, the title is the be-all and end-all. Everything else is, you know, it's the extras. You know, your steak and chips is your league title. That's what you want. And everything else is looking pretty on the plate alongside it, your pepper sauce and your onion rings. So that'll be the message. You know, they've got to get that back. They can't have Larne winning it 2 years in a row, because what was Alex Ferguson said? We've got to knock Liverpool off their perch and whatever. And look, Larne will be seen as the new kids on the block and the young upstarts or whatever, because they're only, let's be honest, they're only new into the Irish Premier League in terms of, I know they were there years and years ago, but it, you know, 4 years, I think, 4 or 5 years since they've been promoted. So they are the new kids in the block and they're coming in and they're doing things fantastically. I was luckily enough to be invited up there to watch a couple of training sessions and things, and the way that they're running it is top, it's top draw. You know, it's a fully professional outfit from bottom to top or top to bottom, whichever way you want to look at it. If you're looking at the first team as the top, that's fine. Sometimes you know that maybe that's the bottom and the top is, you know, the off the field stuff. They are running a brilliant organization now, not just, you know, a good team. So Linfield will be, they need to wrestle that back, because Linfield need to be the big club in the country, and they'll always be the biggest. But without league titles, that becomes more difficult, because you'll see, look at the players Larne are bringing in, right? Linfield are competing with the same players Larne are bringing in, and you want to offer them that Champions League experience as, you know, as a manager or whatever. Now, I know this because I've spoken to players, you know, and I've recommended players to come to the Irish League for this reason, right? There's going to be a team that's going to be in the Europa Conference League sooner rather than later. Linfield were hair's breadth away, weren't they? 2 years ago, 18 months ago, I actually was at the game. And obviously going through the Champions route is going to be a lot easier to qualify for the UEFA Conference League than if you're in Europa League, right? Or, going all the way through that. The Champions path's a better way to do it, or an easier way to do it. And when you win the league, then you can approach players, and then you're now fishing in a bigger market because you can attract boys in, Scottish Championship players, for argument's sake, English, maybe League One, League Two players, right? I'll be honest, the reason why I moved to this country is the threat, or the threat, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? The kind of thought, the promise of European football. Because, you know, I played League One, League Two in England, 500 games, but you've no chance of getting to a big cup final. You've no chance of getting in, well, obviously you've no chance of getting to Europe, but you've not even a chance of getting towards Wembley, I suppose, you know, an FA Cup final, a League Cup final, you've no hope. All right, you know, LDV Vans Trophy, I think it's called something else now, I don't know what it's called now, but playoffs, you know, you can get to them big days through that side, right? But see, to the playoffs, you've 46 matches to get to a end of the season, then you
play off semi-final, isn't it?
To get there, where you know over here you're four games away from a final in the League Cup final, and if you're in the Premier League, you're one of the top teams. That's how close you are. Now these teams added to that of chance of being in an Irish Cup final, League Cup now with 15,000 or whatever, you know, a full Windsor Park live on Sky. They're brilliant selling points to players, right? But the fact is, you're probably four games away from playing in the UEFA Conference League every other Thursday. You are really, really a full-time footballer when you're in them kind of echelons of European football. So the glory of winning the league is the glory of winning the league, right? It's the best achievement that you can have. But the other side of it, for a football club, for the manager, right? You need to wrestle that power back from Lan, that you've got that pulling power of the players to bring them to you. So you're the club. Linfield need that glory of being the first club from the non-Irish Premier League.
That's going to be very key, isn't it? Because, I mean, I know this is the League Cup final preview, but I mean, I look at all three, well, certainly some of the other big clubs in the league, and there's a fearlessness about Lan. There's no scar tissue with Lan yet. I mean, okay, they've had I first go at it last season, and they did okay to a point, but you know, that was their first go at it. I think this next season, if they were to win the league, then we can really see if they're going to make the inroads. Because as you say, whoever can get to that Conference League or get into Europe of some description, it unlocks the door, not just for them, but it may open up, trickle down for the rest of the league as well. And you know, a lot of people are saying the league's improving. I think that's the next stage for football in Northern Ireland as a whole, somebody qualifying for Europe. And people might not like to hear me say that because, oh, there's a bit of jealousy that it's not their club. Well, actually, it should actually be seen as a chance for you to say, can you emulate these guys? Can you join them? Battle can be joined. You know, I think that's got to be the inspiration, surely.
Massively. And that's what I'm saying. It's one club, obviously only one can do it, right? Well, no, others can do it. But somebody's going to be the first club to do it, right?
Yeah.
The first club to do it. And look at Linfield's history. They need to be that first club. They don't want to see Lan doing that before them. They want to be that club. You know, I'm sure they, over the years, they probably were disappointed that they've seen teams from the League of Ireland doing it. Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk have obviously been very successful at, you know, getting through to Europa League group stage and things, right, over the years. And I'm sure they looked at that enviously. Yeah. However, they'd went full-time a long time ago and they'd made that jump to the summer football, and I'm not getting involved in that argument at all. But I'm sure there was envious glances from Linfield down south. There must have been, because look,
and
being
there's
honest,
other nation, and there's other nations as well that are getting teams in for the first time, like Klaksvik from the Faroe Islands being one.
Yeah, and you know, over the years, I went to Linfield playing, you know, in Europe a few times, and we kept drawing Faroe Islands teams. Right, I was like, I wanted to see a little bit. Look, we went to Cyprus and Greece, and it was some brilliant experiences. But that's where Linfield want and need to be. But winning the league title, I think, gives them the best opportunity to get into the, you know, into the group stages, be it Europa League, which I think is a bit of a long shot just at the minute.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it won't happen, but the Conference League is...
It's got to be a realistic target.
I think now, right, as a club, and Lan and Linfield, because let's be honest, they're the two, aren't they? Yes, Clifton Villa having a brilliant season, whatever, right? But Lan and Linfield are two full-time teams, that should be their main focus, winning the league to get into that Conference League because of everything it brings. And I think, look, I'm obviously involved, and I know I'm not involved right this day as a manager or anything, right? But I went to that Linfield game and I wanted them to win because for my league, And people say, what do you mean for your league? It's not your league. You're only the manager of one club. And I know, but I think it brings the exposure to the league, right? And I'm trying to sign players and different players. Certainly when I was at Portadown, I was looking at different markets to bring, you know, different players and value for money, if you want to call it that. And, you know, and I was saying to him, look, you come and have a good season with us and then you might get moved to Linfield or Larne or somebody better. And you could be playing that full-time European football. And that's a big pulling factor, you know. And so I'm looking at them. That's why I'm saying, as a manager of another club outside of them teams, wanting them to do well is for that reason. And also there's money. Look, the better they do, right, the more money the other clubs get through the solidarity payments. So it's nothing to do with the League Cup final. But
but I know we're delving off topic. But
success brings success.
But it is important. Important. It's an important debate in terms of, you know, what it could do for Linfield season, I think, the League Cup. Because I think we are talking about the league, because that's got to be their target. But if they win the League Cup, it could be the springboard they need to maybe win the Irish Cup to win back the league. Because they could potentially win a treble. Linfield have more of a chance of potentially winning the treble. Yes, it's still unlikely, but, you know, they probably will have to beat Larne in the league and in the Irish Cup, potentially to win both of them. You know, obviously, they have to beat Portadown as well, but you know there's opportunities there, so there's still plenty to play for.
Well, success brings success, Graham. Right, whichever way you look at it, they win this League Cup, right? It's a springboard, isn't it? Boom! Right, we've won it.
It has to be. It can't be.
We've won
else.
It, right? And what they'll be looking there, they'll be going. They do need Coleraine, for argument's sake, to do them a favour next weekend, okay? But what's to say they won't? Because look at the way Coleraine performed there. They've kind of got their mojo back. Another good result at the weekend. You never know. You just don't know what's going to happen. So I think, you know, the League Cup, obviously, that's all Linfield will be looking at. Yes, they've got the Game Institute, which will be coming Sunday or yesterday, depending on, obviously, as we're recording now, it's you know, it's in a couple of days' time. They'll get that out of the way, and then their focus will be, right, we need silverware. Let's get that out of the way. Whichever way they do it, you know, Heron and Skerham, they've got to win the cup final against Portadown, and then they'll be thinking, right, we've got the big bit of silverware, you know, in the cabinet ready now. We've got to kick on here. We've a league title to regain,
to win back,
you know, to claim it back from Larne. It's going to be, look, it's going to be a good running. I think it's going to be an intense running, because some tough games. I was looking at the other day, and I hate it when I'm not fully prepped. But basically, I think Linfield have got easier games between now and the split than what Larne have. But hey, that means zip. Let's be honest, absolutely, because if you look at it like that, because Dungannon beat them and Glenavon drew with them and Coleraine beat them, you know, in the bottom six, if you like. So they've got to make sure now that the next period after the cup final is as many points on the board as possible going into the split, and see what the split brings.
It's going to be such a fascinating League Cup final. And Matthew, thanks for coming on the show to preview it with me. I know we've kind of talked a little bit about other things as well towards the end, but I think it's important to understand what the potential caveats and opportunities that can be off the back of you know, the final for both teams, not just Linfield, Portadown as well. Penultimate question, give us a score prediction for the final.
I'll not be popular. Whatever score I give, will I? Look, I'll be at the game and I just want to see a good game, but I fancy Linfield 3-1.
3-1, 3-1. I'm going to go for 2-0 Linfield, the same score as it was 12 months ago when I was there. And last question for me. See you at the final?
Hopefully so. There'll be plenty at it, but maybe we could meet before it for a beer.
Yeah, definitely. I think a beer has got to be on the table for sure. And I'm really looking forward to the final once again. I will be there. I can't wait to see what happens again. It was a fantastic atmosphere last year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what it entails. And Matthew, thanks for coming on Campbell's Football to preview the final for me. And all the very best to you between now and the final. See you then.
Thank you very much. What a dangerous night.